Okay, the learning this morning, is sponsored by the Sokol family in memory of Susan's mother, Lunishmas Baracha Bas Yishayo, her mother's Yurtzeit, which is the 10th of Kislev. The Neshama Shehaven Aliyah in Gan Eden Shamayla Mechayel Lechayel. This morning I want to learn with everyone a piece from a Talmud Chacham who lives in Eretz Yisrael who's not so well known. His name is Rabbi Yaakov Zilberlicht. And Rabbi Zilberlicht is a Talmud of the Yeshiva in Hebron. He is a Talmud of the Rosh Yeshiva there of David Cohn and other Rabbanim as well. And he is a very, very big expert in Machshava, Jewish thought, Jewish philosophy. And he's written a number of beautiful Svarim. And I want to learn a piece from Rabbi Zilberlicht from his Sefer Ikvei Derech, in which he talks about a number of themes that are related to the Parsha, related to Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. Baruch Hashem, many of us have had the opportunity in the last few weeks and in the next coming weeks to go visit Eretz Yisrael again, having been closed in a number of years in different COVID-related activities. And therefore, hopefully by the end of our time this morning, to hopefully walk away with a greater appreciation for Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, what Yerushalayim is meant to be for us as a Jewish people, and perhaps something deeper in our relationship with the city. Let's begin with the following question. In Chazal, we find contradictory messages regarding who will rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash. If you look here in the Medrash Tanchum in Parshas Kisisa, we're told the following. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'olam Hazeh Asisa Mishkan U'Mikdash Shayu B'choma. In this world, you made a Mishkan. You made a Beis HaMikdash with a wall. Ula Asid Ani Evne Es Beis HaMikdash. But in the future, says Hashem, I will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. B'tiyem U'Kefes B'chomas Eish. And the walls of Yerushalayim will be built with fire. Shnei Amar, as the Navi Zechariah says, V'ani Ela Ne'um Hashem Chomas Eish. I will be for you, says Hashem, a wall of fire. Says Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya is known as the great Parshan, the great Mefarish and Chumash. But Rabbeinu Bachya also wrote a magnum opus, which is an encyclopedia of Hashkafa, called the Kad HaKemach. It's an alphabetical work. This is a very popular thing among some of the Rishonim, the Achronim, to discuss topics alphabetically. So Rabbeinu Bachya writes in the Kad HaKemach, Habayis Hashlishi She'asid Liyos HaBinyan, Binyan Shemayim. The third Beis HaMikdash that will be rebuilt will be a heavenly building. Ve'asid l'hiskayim la'olam. And it will last forever. L'kach nikreis al shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And will be named by the name of God. Shehu chai v'kayam la'olam. The just like Hashem is eternal, and Hashem lasts forever, so too the Beis HaMikdash built by Hashem will also be eternal and last forever. And there is perhaps a most famous Rashi. Rashi, the end of Masechah Sukkah, and Daf Mem Aleph says as follows. Mikdash ha'asid sh'anu mitzapim. The Beis HaMikdash that we wait for, we hope for every single day. Banei u'mesuchal hu yigalev v'yovah b'shamayim. It will come and be revealed from the heavens. Shemar, Mikdash Hashem konu yadacha. That the third Beis HaMikdash, says Rashi, will be built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that is one opinion that we have in Chazal, one opinion that we find in the Rishonim. But there is also a very different opinion that we find in our sages. Comes the Talmud Yerushalmi Maseches Megillah, and the Yerushalmi tells us no, that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt in our own very hands. Ulukashi Yesoru Hagolios, when the exiles have come, Shein Nesonus Mitzafon, and they have come from the different locations in the north, Vayavo Vayivnu Beis HaMikdash Shunasum Bedarom. They will come and we will build the Beis HaMikdash with our own hands. We've all had the great sechus, hopefully, of the pleasure to see the construction around Eretz Yisrael and all the different materials and the buildings that are going up. Imagine that with cranes and all the different signs, but just rebuilding a Beis HaMikdash. It will be Jews building brick by brick with Jewish machinery coming together to build the third Beis HaMikdash. And this is cited in the Vayikra Ramba, and it's also cited by the Rambam. The Rambam and the laws of Mashiach. The Rambam brings the laws of Mashiach in Hilchos Shoftim, and the Rambam says, "Mekabed Tzincha Yisrael, uvonei HaMikdash Mekabed Tzincha Yisrael." Mashiach will gather in the exiles, And Mashiach will lead the building. He'll have a yellow hard hat. He'll be walking around the construction site. And Mashiach will be building the Beis HaMikdash. So then we are left with a question that we'll hopefully come to answer in a few moments. Who will build the Beis HaMikdash? Will we build the Beis HaMikdash with our own two hands? Or is it going to come down in fire from Shemayim, a heavenly abode? In addition, we also want to discuss one other point that we'll come back to at the end. The Mabit, one of the great Rishonim, writes in his major work, the Beis Elokim. The Beis Elokim is a work of Ashkafa. It's divided into three Sha'arim, one on Tshuva, one on Tefillah, one on other topics. And the Mabit asks the following question. Why is it that we think that we are going to be the ones with our davening to build the Beis HaMikdash? If Rav Moshe Feinstein davened for the Beis HaMikdash and it didn't come, why do I think I'm going to have my tefillos answered? And if the Vilna Gaon davened for the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaMikdash wasn't rebuilt, why do I think that my tefillos are going to build the Beis HaMikdash? And if all the generations beforehand davened and cried and put themselves out before Hashem to daven for rebuilt Beis HaMikdash, what chutzpah do I have to think that it's going to be my tefillah that's going to push it over the edge to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? How can that possibly be? And these are the two questions we want to come to answer. Now, to understand the issue, we need to explain the concept of Yerushalayim Shalmala. Hopefully, you've all heard in different contexts that there is a Yerushalayim Shalmata. There's a earthly Jerusalem with bricks and stones and human construction. But there's also a Yerushalayim Shalmala, a heavenly Yerushalayim that exists above us in Shemayim. The Gemara in Tainus tells us the following. Look at the Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Ava B'Yerushalayim Shalmala, Ad She'avo L'Yerushalayim Shalmata. That there's a Yerushalayim in the heavens, and the Yerushalayim in this world. Iker Yerushalayim L'Mala, Ein Dechsev, Yerushalayim HaBenuya, Ki'ir Shechubra, La Yachdav. Yerushalayim is a city that is built, that is chubra, that connects things together. Understands Chazal. What does the pasuk mean in Tehillim? Shechubra lo yachdav. It means that there's a chibor. There is a connection between the earthly Jerusalem and the heavenly Jerusalem. And they are tied and intrinsically linked one to another. And you cannot have one without the other. There's a connection between the Ir HaKodesh, that's in this world, and the Yerushalayim Shamal, that's above us. Look at the Medrash Tanchuma. This is cited actually by Rashi in this week's Parsha. Rashi says, Beis Migdash Shalmala, Mechuvan Keneged Beis HaMigdash Shalmata. There is a heavenly Beis HaMigdash. This is the Beis HaMigdash we speak to our children about. When we talk about that their mitzvos go to put another brick into the Beis HaMigdash, and Chas V'Shalom and Aveira removes a brick from the Beis HaMigdash. This is a real thing. There is a spiritual reality that exists in the heavens above us, of a Beis HaMigdash that exists on high. And that it exists, it's a real thing. A real mitzias of a spiritual Beis HaMikdash that exists by the Kisei HaKavod, by Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rashba, in his commentary, Maseches Tainus, he speaks to this as well. V'dak Yerushalayim Shalmata, v'tzion u'Beis HaMikdash. Jerusalem, tzion, the Beis HaMikdash, kulam tziurim heim, l'inyanim sichliim dakim ma'od. There is a real spirituality, something that you cannot touch when you walk in Jerusalem, something you cannot feel with your hands and your feet or smell or taste. There's a real spiritual reality that exists that connects the spiritual Jerusalem to the physical Jerusalem. And Rabbeinu Bachya writes in the Katakamach, and he explains that the name Yerushalayim actually speaks this doubling. Every word in Hebrew that ends Yud Mem always means there's two. Oznayim, Yadayim, Raglayim, all of these come in two. So why should that be any different than Yerushalayim? Says Rabbeinu Bacha, of course there's two Jerusalems. Of course there's a heavenly Jerusalem and a physical Jerusalem. Because it ends in plural, Yerushalayim in the plural. And that shows us, even within the very name of Jerusalem, there's a reference to the spiritual and the physical aspect as well. Besides for the Maila, besides for the greatness of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, there is also something referenced in this Parsha known as the Evan HaShasia. This is the stone which we speak about that was the focal point from the point of creation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world. There is a lot to unpack about the Evan HaShasia. where it comes from, why it exists, what is it, do we still see it nowadays, all different types of things. But that's not our discussion for right now. There is a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Kedoshim. And this Medrash Tanchuma is cited by the Ramban, but not in this week's Parsha. It is cited by the Ramban in the Ramban's Hakadama to the Torah. The Ramban's introduction to the Torah is a masterful work that really deserves its own discussion all on its own. We don't have time for that right now. Where the Ramban essentially lays out what the Torah is, why the Torah is meaningful to us, why does the Torah connect to every single Jew. And in that discussion, the Ramban writes the following. And he quotes this Medrash. And he's describing how Shlomo HaMelech, who knew all of the wisdom of the world, every single science, medicine, every single thing there was to know, Shlomo HaMelech knew. And the Ramban is trying to explain that where did he get this from? It came from the Torah, and the Torah is the source of all wisdom. And then he writes the following. Afilu pilpalin natash Shlomo be'eretz Yisrael. Even peppers, which were not native to the land of Israel, Shlomo was able to plant in the soil of Israel. V'keitzad haya natoan. How did Shlomo HaMelech plant in such a fashion? El Shlomo chacham haya, Shlomo was very wise. V'ya yodea ikar mishisiso shel olam. And he knew where the world drew nutrients from. Lama. Mitzion michlal yofi elokim hofia. From Tzion, from Yerushalayim, all beauty and all reality comes. Mitzion niskalchel kol olam kulo. From Tzion, says the Medrash, says the Ramban, all of the world is sustained and nurtured. Kate said, how is that? Why is it that everything is nurtured from Eretz Yisrael? Lama nikres Evan Hashasia. Why is it called the Evan Hashasia? What does that word mean? Shimimena nishtasei sa'olam. Because from Jerusalem, from the Evan Hashasia that sits on our Har Habayis, there is the nutrients that the entire world draws from, that the whole world is sustained from. All the places in the world are nurtured through subterranean channels from the rock in Sion. Via Shlomo Yodea Eze Gidshu Holech Lechosh. And Shlomo Melech knew that if he planted the right vegetable, the right fruit in this location, it could connect to the place that was connected to the Evan Hashasia. Shlomo Melech knew the Chachma, that if I wanted to plant guava, and if I wanted to plant avocado, or if I wanted to plant dragon fruit, whatever it is I wanted, if I put it in this location, he could draw the spiritual line that would connect that fruit or vegetable back to the Evan HaShasiyah in the Beis HaMikdash. Because Evan HaShasiyah means the place that the whole world, spiritually and physically, is nurtured from. And in this case, he would plant peppers. Umiyad hayu osin peiros, and immediately it would sprout. It didn't have to wait a whole season. Immediately, Shlomo's chachma knew that you would plant it and it would sprout right away. B'chein shu omer, it says in Koheles, v'natasi bohem eitz kol pri. Says Shlomo Melech, I was able to plant all peiros. What does that mean? Literally, says the Medrash, Shlomo could plant anything he wanted and it would work. So Yerushalayim is the center of the world. That's what Evan HaShasiyah means. Evan HaShasiyah means it is the place that all nutrients draw from. We find often in the writings of the Ramban that Yerushalayim takes on a central role. Look here in the Maharal. The Maharal writes in his Chidushi Agos. The Maharal wrote on all different types of things. The Maharal really had a goal to write on every single Moed. He wanted to write on all the holidays. That was his goal. He wanted to show the point and the real central theme of every Jewish holiday. So he did for Chanukah, he did for Purim, he did for Pesach, and he never got further than that. He did not make it to write the unrest. But that was his original goal. But one of the things the Maharal did write are Chidushim on Shas, on the Agadata, the stories, the Midrashim of Shas. Look what he writes here in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. V'lo azlinam b'zeh achar shtacha ha'aretz, lomar d'nekuda emsayis hi Eretz Yisrael. When I say that Eretz Yisrael is the center of the universe, I don't mean only geographically. Because if you have a ball, if you have a globe, well, any place you want can be the center, right? Whoever's making the map puts it in the center, right? So we're in America, so America made maps, put America right in the center. And if you live in a different country, your country would be in the center if I look at the map. It's a circle, it's a ball. You could do whatever you want with it. But that's not what we mean, says the Maharal. Elolomer lacha ki makom Yerushalayim hu emsa Eretz Yisrael shekachu nechshav. Yerushalayim is the center of Eretz Yisrael. Kamosha amar ki leva adam bi emsa haguf mamish. Just like we say that your heart is in the center of your body. Is your heart actually in the center of your body? No. If it was, I would tell you to go see a physician. Your heart is not in the center of your body. But when we say that your heart is in the center of your body, what it means is your heart is the central point that is governing the functioning of your body. Everything works around your heart. It is pumping blood to the vessels, back and forth, controlling every aspect of your very living. Just like everything has to go back to that focal point, just like everything in your body needs to go back and run through the heart. So too, says the Maharal, everything comes back to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the beating heart of the Jewish people. It's what keeps us going. It's what gives us our ruchnius. It's what gives us our koach. Everything we do is sustained from the city of Jerusalem. Ve'ein ha'davar tola klal b'shtach. And nothing else depends on anything else. Elisha ha'davar shu Yerushalayim hu ikar v'lev Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is the ikar. It is the heart of Eretz Yisrael. Sha'kal talibo v'um tziyosho b'shvizeh. And therefore it means it is the center because everything depends on the city of Jerusalem. That is how the Maharal explains this. Now with this we can begin to understand the greatness of what Hashem did with Yaakov Avinu in this parsha. The Ramban writes here, and he explains what did Hashem do with the Evan, the rock that Yaakov made. Right? We know that Yaakov took a number of rocks, perhaps 12, and he put them around his head or his body, depending on the picture that your child comes home with from school, however he laid it out. And then eventually, by the end of the night, they were arguing back and forth. I want to be by the tzaddik. I want to be by the tzaddik. No, no, no. Hashem made shalom, and he brought all the rocks together. The rock, Yaakov then, the pasuk says that he made it into a matseva. A matseva means a single rock in Lashon HaKodesh, as opposed to mizbeach, which is made out of multiple rocks. And he made this thing. But then we kind of end. He made this rock, and we moved on, and he's on to bigger and better things, the house of Lavan, and we forget about this rock. What's with this rock? Look what the Ramban says. V'tav es Evan ad am ketomos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took this rock, this Evan, and he thrust it down into the depths of the earth. V'aso so snif laretz. And he made it a chelek. He made it a part of the earth. Ka'adam shu notein snif lakipa. Meaning, if you see in every arch, there's a arch stone, the stone. In the center of the arch, there's that single stone that keeps the arch going, right? All the pressure comes to that center point of that arch. And says the Ramban that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that rock of Yaakov and he thrust it into the earth to make it the linchpin of the entire universe. The fichach nikreis evan shesia misham shu tabor haaretz. It is like ke'ilu, the belly button of the world. It is the center, it is the focal point that holds the world together. That Evan HaShasiya that Yaakov made in this week's Parsha. The Zohar HaKadosh writes in Parshas Vayechi that Hashem took the stone of Yaakov and he combined it with the Evan HaShasiya that was sustaining the earth. And Rabbeinu Bachya writes as well that Yerushalayim, we know from this week's Parsha, was actually first called Luz, right? The city of Luz. We talk about often the Luz bone, which is located somewhere on the body. We know this is the bone, we're told by our tradition, that does not disintegrate. It does not get destroyed, no matter what happens to the body. And eventually from that bone, we will be regenerated by Tchiyas HaMesim. We're told by the Rishonim that a person who eats Malav HaMalka, it sustains and gives nutrients to the Luz bone, which is inside the body. So it's always a good thing for the body to eat Malav HaMalka. It's something we should be careful about. But here, Rabbeinu Bachya says Yerushalayim was first called Luz, because just like the Luz bone is the bone that holds together and sustains the future resurrection of the body, so too Yerushalayim is the point that sustains and holds together the Jewish people. Now, we can begin to start to appreciate, to understand the name of Yerushalayim. The Medrash teaches us the following. Avram kara osa yireh, u'malchit tzedek kara osa shalem. That there was a combination of two words. Malchit tzedek called the city Shalem, and Avram called the city Yireh. And we combine it together to call it Yeru Shalayim. Those two words together. So Rabbi Zilberlech quotes his Rebbe, Rav David Cohn. Rav David Cohn is the Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron, Yerushalayim. He writes beautiful Sifrei Machshav. He has a Sefer on Sukkos called Zman Simchasenu. And Rav David Cohn makes the following point. He says, this is based on a comment of the Vilna Gaon, that Yerushalayim's two names, Yarei and Shalem, reflect dual aspects. Shalem means that the Shechina of the Beis HaMikdash, Shalmala, rests in Yerushalayim. It is complete. It's the place of Hashem's perfect resonance. It's the place where Hashem places his greatest chelek in this world. And therefore, Yerushalayim is Shalem. And that is, says Rav David Cohn, the Shem Atzmi. It is the proper name of Yerushalayim to be called Shalem. It was Avram Avinu who later came and added the word Yarei, as in to see something, to be Roeh. Because Avram taught the world about Hashkacha, that Hashem looks over, watches over, and protects each and every one of us. Look at the words of Rav David Cohn. And with this, we are unifying the two names together. Shemitoch Shema as Shema Atzmi Shalem, that from its Shem Etzem, its proper name Shalem, Shehu Makom Shalem Hamechavein Keneged Shechina Shemala. The name Shalem in Yerushalayim refers to the Shechina that is complete and perfect that rests over about Yerushalayim. No Seif Bazeh Gam Inyan Hayira. But there's also the aspect of seeing. Shehu Ha'ara V'Gilui Shel Hashras Hashechina Sheba B'Yerushalayim. And that references the deep, deep Hashkacha Pratis that Hashem places over Yerushalayim. The deep connection that Hashem gives over the city of Jerusalem as a special, unique place that is unlike any other city in the world. Yirei Shalem. It is complete, but with Hashkacha Pratis, with Hashem's careful watching over the city. The Kiddush of Yerushalayim and its great potential of holiness is in fact what allows it to also become the greatest place of destruction. In Jewish thought, we are often told that the greater the holiness the person has to attain is also the greater that person can fall. We know, as the Gemara tells us, that kol ha-gadol mechavero, yitzro gadol mimenu. The greater the tzaddik, the greater yitzhara that tzaddik has. The greater there is for potential, the yitzhara and the satan is constantly trying to drag that person further, more and more and more away. And it is the same with Yerushalayim. We know that the Ramban, living in Spain in the 1200s, had to engage in a debate. He was forced to engage in a debate with the Catholic Church in Spain. And by all accounts, he won the debate. But in Spain, in Catholic Spain, when you win the debate, you actually lose the debate. Because he had to leave. Because after he published the accounts of the debate, the Catholic Church was not so happy with the Ramban's account of him wiping the floor with their side, and he had to flee. So the Ramban, at the end of his life, made his way to Eretz Yisrael. And that is a whole beautiful parsha on its own. The Ramban would go on to make emendations and make changes in his famous Perush on the Torah, because he was able to see with his own two eyes where Kevar Racha was and be able to change his Perush. Now he saw it together, how things related to each other geographically. But not in his Perush, but rather in his letters. I think we're all familiar with the famous Igeres HaRamban, which he writes to his son about Musar and Midos and perfecting yourself. But there are other letters as well. And this is from a letter that he wrote. This is published in the Kisvei HaRamban about what he saw when he came to Shalayim at the end of his life. Uma agid be'inyan haaretz. What can I tell you about the land? Ki rabah azuva v'gadal hashmamon. Because it is incredibly desolate and the destruction is great. V'klalo shel davar. And he says, I must teach you a rule. Kol ha-makudosh mechavero, charev mechavero. Whoever is holier than his counterpart can also be destroyed much more than his counterpart. Yerushalayim yoser charva min kol ha-aretz. There is no place in Eretz Yisrael at that time that is more desolate, that is more destroyed, that is more forlorn than the city of Yerushalayim. The Eretz Yehuda chareva yoser min ha-galil. And the area of Yehuda was more destroyed than the Galil in the north. And the Ramban writes with tears to his son, this is not what I thought to see. I thought to come to the holiest city in the world, and I saw was utter desolation and destruction, with nowhere to go and nowhere to turn to. This teaches us about the Kiddush of Yerushalayim. So in light of the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim Shalmata, as part of Yerushalayim Shalmala. Let's now begin to understand that Churban of Yerushalayim and what led to what the Ramban saw. Rav Chaim of Elazhin, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, his magnum opus, the Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim is a majestical work, which should be explored by anybody who's able to, which Rav Chaim of Elazhin writes about the impact of our mitzvos and chas v'shalom our averos, what it means to be a Jew, what our davening does in this world, how we're supposed to serve Hashem in a more complete way, and finally the importance of Talmud Torah in four amazing, amazing chapters. In the beginning of the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim of Elazhin is trying to teach us and trying to convey to us a message of what it means when you do a mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, says Rav Chaim of Elazhin, it is not Hashem keeping points. We are often trained, unfortunately, in our Yiddishkeit, that things are with points, right? I keep Shabbos, it's 10 points. I forgot to make a bracha, minus 2, right? And I sat in a sukkah, that's plus 5, and I didn't speak Lashon Hara, so that's plus 4, but I said that thing about my sister-in-law, so maybe that's minus 1, and then it's on and on and on and on. We need, says Rav Chaim Elazhin, to stop with the point system in our Yiddishkeit. We serve Hashem, and we do mitzvos, because it brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we do Averos Chas V'Shalom, it brings us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we do mitzvos, it actually has a real life impact on the world for better. And when Chas V'Shalom, we don't do mitzvos, it has a negative impact on the world as well. Your mitzvos and Chas V'Shalom, your Averos, are real. They make an actual difference in how the world is going to be. When there is destruction, and there's poverty, and there's pain in the world, it is because the Jewish people are not doing what they're supposed to do. And when there is light, and there is simcha, and there is success, and there is health, it is because the Jewish people are acting in the ways they're supposed to. Your actions resonate, and they shake the heavens, and they make an impact in this world. Says Rav Chaim V'Elazhin, what happened by Churban Beis HaMikdash? Nebuchadnezzar v'titzos lo asu b'maaseyem, shumkam v'kilkol klal lamala. He says, honestly, Nebuchadnezzar, Titus, did absolutely nothing to the Beis HaMikdash. Ki lo lahem chelek ba'olamos ha'alyonim, shayu yichol min goa sham kla b'maseyem. They can never touch the Yerushalayim Shamala. They can never act and affect such a place. Elosh b'chateinu nisma'et v'tash k'v'yachol koach l'vur Shamala. In the year 70, when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was already destroyed on the inside. The mistakes and the failings and the sins of the Jewish people had already led it to decay like a house that was infested with termites. On the outside, it seemed healthy. But spiritually, the Beis HaMikdash was empty and desolate. The Gemara says that when Titus and Nebuchadnezzar came to the Beis HaMikdash, it fell like a sandcastle. Because from the inside, it was already destroyed. The spirituality had already been sucked out of it. Because in Yerushalayim Shamala, the heavenly Jerusalem, it was already done. And therefore they came and simply blew it over, and the rest fell away. We can now, I think, begin to understand the contradictory midrashim that we began with. Who will rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash? I want to share with you a beautiful idea from Rav Yaakov Edlinger. Rav Yaakov Edlinger, who was the Rav in Germany, his major work on Shas, the Aruch HaNer, his work on Hilchos Lulav and Esrog, which we find throughout the Mishnah Berurah, the Bikurei Yaakov, he gives us a tremendous yisod. He is the first person to lay out this yisod. It is repeated in the last generation by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and it is repeated in a beautiful tshuva in this generation by Rav Amar, Rav Shlomo Amar, who has a beautiful tshuva in his tshuvos. He repeats this as well. Listen to what Rav Yaakov Edlinger says. Devadai Beis HaMikdash La'asad Lavo, Yibaneh binyan mamish bidei adam. He says, obviously, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt by the hands of people. Umashin amar mikdash Hashem kanri yadecha. But what does it mean that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt by Hashem? Shenidrish betanchum eshiyar lamata, that some fiery building is going to come down. Hu Beis HaMikdash haruchani, sheyavo l'sof Beis HaMikdash hanivne gashmi. It is the spiritual Beis HaMikdash that will be infused to the physical building. K'neshama besoch guf. What a beautiful imagery. Like a neshama that is breathed into the body. The Yerushalayim Shalmala will be breathed into the Yerushalayim Shalmata. Ukmoshi Yered b'mishkan v'is ha-migdash e'ishal mala tocha e'ishal hediot shnevar be'etzim. And just like the fires that were built, used in the Mishkan, on the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash, was lit by man, but inspired and sustained by the heavens, so too, says Rav Yaakov Edlinger, when we rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash with our own hands, Hashem will come and blow a neshama into it from above that will sustain that Beis HaMikdash and that Yerushalayim forever. Physically, we will build it. We will be led by Mashiach, who will gather us from Galus. We rebuild the Beis HaMikdash Shalmata with our own hands. But just like the Beis HaMikdash Shalmata and the Chorban came because of the destruction above, because of our sins, so too the future Beis HaMikdash will be sustained and kept forever because of our tshuva, because of our ruchnias, and because of our mitzvos. This is the meaning of Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yadecha, that the spiritual Beis HaMikdash will enter the physical Beis HaMikdash like the neshama enters a guf. It is true that the Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash and the Yerushalayim Shamata, but it will not have a kiyum. It will not last forever until it's joined by the true Yerushalayim Shamala, and that will allow it to last la'olam va'ed. That is the Yesod of Yaakov Edlinger, and it mamish answers up all the Midrashim. It is pashup shat in what's going to happen. It's exactly what's going to be. We will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and it will be filled with the breath of Hashem to make sure it lasts forever. Now, there are only two brachos in Shmon Esrei that begin with a vav. One of them is the bracha of Ulamal Shinim. That is the 19th bracha of Shmon Esrei that was added later on after the first 18. So it makes sense why it would have a vav hachibor, a vav of and, before it was added. Because what Chazal is saying is, oh, and by the way, keep the enemies away from us. Let's add that one in. What's the only other bracha that begins with a vav? V'yushalayim ircha berachamim tashuv. Why is it that there's only one real bracha in the 18 original bracha Shmon Esrei that begins with a vav? So the answer is that the Eitz Yosef and the Otz Ratzfilos and other Mefarshim say that this is Yerushalayim Shalmala that is chabura with Yerushalayim Shalmata. When you say Vili Yerushalayim and, what you mean is there's a chibur. Not just the Yerushalayim I see physically, but also the Yerushalayim that I will experience spiritually. That is the vav of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim Shalmala together with Yerushalayim Shalmata. The Binyan Shlomo adds that this is why we say Yerushalayim Ircha, your city Hashem, but not Yireinu. We don't say Yerushalayim our city. We say Yerushalayim Ircha Barachim Tashuv, because we're davening for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to return Yerushalayim Shamala, that he'll rebuild Yerushalayim Shalmata. That's the Kavana when we say that bracha. Hashem, your city, all of it, the physical combined with the spiritual, should be built speedily in our days. And with this, we can now explain, hopefully, the question of the Mabit. Why is it that my tefillos, and not the tefillos of the previous generations, are going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to be answered in our time? Because the building of the Beis HaMikdash and the rededication of Yerushalayim Shalmata will only be when the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala is completed, with our Maisim Tovim, and our tefillos, and our learning, and all of the beautiful, pristine bricks that we teach our children and our grandchildren to put into that Beis HaMikdash, only then will it be rebuilt. And certainly the tefillos of the Maisim Tovim, the previous tzaddikim, helped build part of that Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, but only our tefillos are going to be the ones to put those last bricks in to let it be complete. And that's why the last generation is going to rebuild that Beis HaMikdash. Because when it's ready above, it will be ready below to finally be rebuilt. This is the Yesod of Yerushalayim, mentioned in this week's Parsha, of Har Habayis, Evan HaShasiyah, the two Yerushalayims that hopefully we have a greater appreciation of. That was in Hashkaf. I just want to end with one piece of avoda and one piece of practical avoda for ourselves. It is not enough for a person to come back from their trip to Eretz Yisrael and to tell me, when I asked them how it was, Mamila was great and the food was amazing and we had a great time. Do you know what that told me? What that told me is that you only went to half of Yerushalayim and you missed the other half. Did you visit Yerushalayim Shalmala? Did you visit Tzaddikim? Did you spend every moment you could at the Kosel? Did you go daven in holy places around Yerushalayim? Did you experience what Yerushalayim is supposed to be? Not the way it's advertised by the government. What did you see when you went to Yerushalayim? Did you come back and you only told me about Yerushalayim Shalmata? Which is nice. And of course, we want to enjoy the fruits of Eretz Yisrael and the brachos of Eretz Yisrael. But if a person can come back and only tell me about ATVing, and can only tell me about the malls and the shops they went to, what that tells me is that they should probably get their money back, because they only visited half of the city, and they did not spend their time in the best way. When a person goes to Eretz Yisrael, and Biprat specific to Yerushalayim, on your agenda of things to do, must be Ruchnius. It has to be. Because then what did you do? What did you go for? There's other beautiful cities in the world, and there's much better malls in other countries, and there's better ATVing in other places. I promise you. I don't know from experience, but this is what they tell me. A person who goes to Eretz Yisrael needs to go for Yerushalayim Shalmala, for the spiritual things. They are such spiritual gems. You could trip over them in the streets of Eretz Yisrael. But why are you going? What are you doing there? What's the purpose? You have to plan, you have to see, you have to scout out to make sure you're gathering all that spiritual nutrients. You're soaking up the Evan HaShasia to bring it back to your friends, bring it back to your family, to power yourself, to power up the people around you, and to continue that ruchnius. We should all be zocha to experience the beauty of Yerushalayim Shalmata along with the beauty of Yerushalayim Shalmala. Have a good day.